Blog Talk Radio.
Radio, and this is Talk to Me, hosted by the one and the only, the most fantabulous, loveliest, and wealthiest sister in the world. That's right, my name is Cherie Humphrey, and I am the founder and president of Diamonds in the Rough and the producer of A Star Is Born talent events and Talk to Me Media. Our motto is standing firm on the promises of God. I truly want to thank everybody for tuning back in. We are still in the 11th season, going into the 12th season of Diamonds in the Rough Talk to Me Radio. And it's just been an honor and a pleasure to have interviewed so many wonderful people. Our topic tonight is, if you could have anyone, who would it be and why? And I'm going to tell you who I choose. Henry Simmons. I know I can't have him. He's married, but he's out of Stanford. And the reason why I like him, because the man is fine. He's an actor. He's from Stanford, Connecticut. My cousin grew up with him, Angela Wright. So she knew him. He used to come over to the house with his twin sister. He has beautiful skin and beautiful eyes, beautiful lips, a nice body. Lord have mercy, tall. I just love his skin, and he's muscular. But in any case, I want to move right on because our guests are going to be calling in, and I know you want to hear from them. But you know, first and foremost, I'm going to do scripture, but I'm going to let people know, if you've never tuned in to this broadcast before, we are reaching, of course, the United States, Canada, Germany, Indonesia, Cameroon, Philippines, India, Ireland, Sweden, South Korea, and Malaysia at this time. So hopefully that will be growing in our 12th season. I hope to have some different types of guests on. Everybody that's listened to the show know that I love music, and I especially love singers. So I have been, predispositioned to having them on quite a bit. So I'm going to try to have some different type of guests on, and I do have a different type of coming on who's local, and she is a model. Some of the people who have graced this show have been celebrities and non-celebrities. If I don't call your name, please. I can't remember everybody, but I only can remember some. Marcel Lashley Davies, J.D. Lawrence, Calvin Richardson, Richmond Punch, Carmichael, The Music Lover, Wendell B., C.C. Peniston, Curtis Blow, Melba Moore, Glenn Jones, J.P. Justice, Bernard Jackson, Omar Wilson, Tony Redd, Judah Seeley, Darren Cookie Moore, True Frazier, Stacey Lattisaw, Jackson now, Christopher Williams, Doobie Powell, Keisha Rainey, Hope Flood, Riff, Gerald Kelly, J.J. Harrison, Capone, FSW, Janice Dempsey, A. Curtis Farrow, and Rashawn Langley, Tiffany Tazelle, Phoenix Fire. There's been so many people, and I've truly enjoyed most of them. 9 times out of 10, I enjoy everybody who calls in. And so I do want to send shout outs to people who have had some birthdays, because I didn't come on in January, but my little baby niece, Isaiah, Evans, who I call Zyphod Blue, she had a birthday in January. Kiki Vanderpool Carrington, she is an author, she had a birthday. Darius Shabazz, which is my cousin, he had a birthday. There's any more in January, you know, I can't remember them all. But February was my brother, Stephen Daniels, the second. Michael Sistrunk, who's coming up as my cousin, my pastor's birthday. Joseph Green, Pastor Dave out of Stanford. My friend Jennifer, I don't know where she is, lost contact with her, but if you are listening to this show, happy birthday to you too, Jennifer. I do want to send condolences out. My sister Tammy grew up with Fat Fat, and Fat Fat was from Stanford. Her last name was Richardson, related to Elder Veronica Richardson, which was her sister. She passed away, and it was definitely a shock. She was basically more of a sister to my sister than I was, because we didn't grow up together, but Fat Fat grew up with her. So I do want to send condolences to anyone that has lost a loved one since the show in December. And so I do want to move on. If you would like to order any artwork, any books of mine, please go to my website, which is listed on the show page, www.ditrfindingthespiritinme.org. Go to the art page, go to the book page. If you want to have consultation, if you want to book me for any reason, if you know me and the things that I've done in the past, please shout out, give me, inbox me, text me, let me know who you are. And then we could talk about it. If the art is too much, we can definitely discuss a payment plan. But my latest book, Diamond Art and Recollections, which is listed on the show page, has all of my artwork from 2020. So if you'd like to have all of it, you can. And it's also recollections of my life. So it's a very thick book. It's $50. So if you would like that, you want to be on a payment plan, if you need to, let me know. I will work with you. I definitely understand. If you'd like to donate and God lays it on your heart to donate a monetary contribution, a brand new laptop, I'm just throwing it out there. Please hit me up. Let me know. My Cash App is up there. I have all forms of payments if you think that's something that the Lord is laying on your heart. So I'm going to get into the scriptures right now. And we're talking, these scriptures are talking about desire. And so we're going to discuss that. Okay, coming from the New Living Translation. And this one is Psalm 73:25. Whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth. I know that's right. Psalm 20:4 says, may he grant your heart's desires and make all your plans succeed. And so the Lord doesn't want you to fail. He wants you to succeed. He wants to help you to succeed and do the things that he has put in your heart. And a lot of people think, well, where are you coming up with this idea? Well, if God keeps putting something in you and you keep it keeps coming back, you can't shake it, keeps coming back, that may be something he wants you to explore. Another one is Psalm 51:17. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken spirit and a repentant heart, O God. Well, what does repent mean? It means ask for forgiveness, confess your sins to the Lord or someone you dearly trust that is in ministry. And you don't have to share everything. You could take it to the Lord, you know, and ask him to help you to turn from certain things. We are not perfect, and we never will be. Ain't nobody walking this earth Jesus. So I don't care if you're a bishop, apostle. I don't care if you're sitting on a mountain with a golden throne. You are not Christ. So everybody has shortcomings and faults. And so if you love somebody and you're able to help them in any way, advice, you know, encouragement, do that. Okay, Matthew 9:13 says, then he added, now go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. For I have come to call not to those who think they are righteous, but to those who know they are sinners. And so we are all sinners saved by grace. I don't know why is every time I get ready to do this show, the devil is alive. Something pops up on the screen that I can't get rid of. So hopefully this will go away and will not interfere in what I am doing. In Jesus' name. Let's move right on because it is getting time for my call, first caller, to be plugged in. And I am going to go to a very, very short break and play a little bit of Avery Sunshine, Call My Name. Okay, you hear that, y'all? That means I can't get rid of the screen, so bear with me.
Can I bring something up? Don't mean to be confrontational. But lately we haven't made time to be conversational. Don't hear sweet nothings no more. I guess life has gotten in the way. How in the world could this happen to us? We used to have so much to say. Tell me, baby.
When was the last time you heard me call you sweet darling?
Yeah.
And when was the last time I heard you say, hey, baby?
That was Avery Sunshine. I love that song so much. Anyway, I am going to plug my first guest in and so everybody can hear from this woman. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yes,
yes.
Can you hear me? Hi.
Yes, I can. Hi.
All right. Great,
oh my gosh,
great.
How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm just sitting here and I'm like, Lord, you know, let there be no technical difficulties, because I always pray before I start this show. And I said, I got to have my first caller in and no interruptions. So how are you today, Darlene?
I am just great. I'm great, great, great.
Yes. And tell everybody how I know you. Oh, we know each other, because it's quite a little funny story.
Well, we grew up together. Our families grew up together in the village. Her mom,
yes.
Her family, my family, we lived right across from each other. Her aunt, me and her, were actually best friends. And then
yes.
My older sister was best friends to her mother. So we were all like a family, tight-knit family growing up in the same community. So
yes.
that's how we
yes.
met.
Right. And it's so funny because you were friends with my sister for quite a while, and you didn't even know that Avis was my mom. Because we were friends on Facebook, but we didn't really know each other.
That's right. That's true.
Yes. Yes. And so,
and you two look so much alike. And then I said, wait a minute, Sherry, wait a minute, is Avis her mom? I said, oh, wait a minute, we're family.
Yes, yes. And even though I didn't live at the village till I was like four, but, you know, I have memories still from that early age and earlier.
Right,
of
right,
being in the
right.
village. And right. so many people took care of me and babysat me in the village. You know, it was crazy. You know, because
yeah,
my mom
that's
was young.
True. That's true.
Yeah. Yes.
So it's like when we lived in the complex, everybody was like family to everybody. So that's how, and by you being younger, you didn't really know all of us, but we remember you.
Right. Right, absolutely. Because when people call me Tweety Bird, I know they know me from the village.
Yep, yes, yes. That's just what they called you. Sure
yes.
did. But you were the cute little Tweety Bird, still is.
Thank you so much. But I wanted to have you on because I thought it was very interesting. When I first saw some of the things that you were doing online, it seemed like you were an influencer, and I think that you are an influencer. But you are really a catalog model now.
Yeah, well, I do that part-time because, see, what happened was, for about 19 years, I was taking care of my mom with Alzheimer's at home. I wouldn't put her in a nursing home. So my life was
right.
confined around her. I didn't have a life
okay.
of my own. It was just built
right.
around her and taking care of her.
Okay.
So when
right.
I got a little bit of help, I went to work part-time at a company. But at that time, I was working at the company and taking care of my mom still. So
okay.
when the company, you know, they sold out and let us go and so forth, which was good because it was all in God's plan. Everything happens for a reason. You know, he knows right,
right.
what to do and,
yes.
you know, when to stop everything and what to give you. So long
yes.
story short with that, my mom, after 19 years of, it's been 7 years now, she passed.
Sorry to
I finally
that.
Tried to, yeah, that. Thank you. I tried to get a
mm-hmm.
life of my own because I never had none. So
right.
I went, you know, my job, I was still working, but then after a while, the job let us go, you know, so forth. So I retired early. I retired at 62. I'm 64 now, going on 65.
You look young, girl. You still look young.
yeah. I'll be 65 in November. So what
wow.
happened, I was always a funky person. You know, I loved it to dress. I always wanted to be a model. I wanted to go to modeling school. You know, I was accepted to Johnson & Wales for fashion design. But my mom was sick. So I let
right.
everything go to just take care of her. So now
wow.
what happened was I was in the store shopping, and a lady came up to me and she said, wow, I like the clothes that you're picking out. She said, you look so nice, though. You look nice in your clothes. Would you wouldn't mind modeling some clothes for us. I said, oh, shoot, yeah, sure, yeah, you know, because I was trying to find modeling schools and stuff to go to, even at my age. I didn't care. So that's how I got into it. And it was just to do catalog, you know. They would send me clothes. I would, you know, put them on, take my pictures, and we'd go and do the photo shoots. And then, you know, they put them into the catalogs, which is, like, all over the world. I don't even know where at, but just all over.
Right.
So that's
and, you know,
what type of...
Because things are online now, so it's like it's not just in magazines.
Right.
You got stuff streaming everywhere, you know?
Yes. Yes. Because I can see some of the things that they have other companies will have those same items, you know, but it's coming from a different company, you know.
Right.
That I think that's the way the online stuff work or your whatever, this and that. But anyway, a lot of their brands, so, you know, I use their brands. I get to keep the clothes. I got so much. I need to give some away. Who wants some?
I would, but I
seriously.
Can't fit them. You too slim for me.
Yeah, but if anybody that needs any, you know, I'll pack them up and then just send some to somebody, whoever you know.
Right.
You know,
right.
7, 8, some 9, 10, some 5, 6.
Right, right. And so, what is the best part of this job that you're doing? Because you have freedom. You are able to, you know, wear different clothes, and what woman doesn't like? What would you say about that?
The best part of it is just what you said, wearing the clothes, feeling pretty, you know, because I was always a dresser. I loved clothes. So it just made me, feel so pretty. And just to take for them just to photograph you, being natural, your natural self. Because I don't wear makeup or anything like that. So it's just natural.
Right.
I wear lip gloss, so, you know. But it's just being natural and just wearing the clothes and posing. It's like, oh, wait, I got the walk now, too. Now they'll make me walk a little bit, so I got that down pat. You know, So,
yes.
I mean, I'm like a model. I'm a real model at 64. Yeah, somebody needs to just scoop me up.
And you know what? They probably will. You never know. I mean, you know, like they say, black don't crack, and, you know, you still have a great figure. What do you do to keep yourself in shape? Because I know you like to cook.
You know what? I dance. I exercise, and I dance. I'm on TikTok, y'all. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Facebook. I have my Facebook, which I have the reel. You'll see me dancing and doing all kind of things because that's how I do. I just keep myself going, you know?
Right.
I didn't have that.
Yes.
I didn't have that before. So God has blessed me.
And he's restored, I wouldn't say restored, but he's giving you the time that you didn't have before. And you haven't aged, and so it's like, you know, you are still able to do some of the things you wanted to do many years ago.
Many years ago, yes. So now what I do, I have 3 brothers that I take care of. They're ill, you know, they have, you know, little compromised, you know, illness. Not too bad, but I take care of them, but I'm still able to do me now, which I couldn't.
Right. And so what type of meals, because I love to dance too, and I wanted to be a model when I was a teenager. My grandmother took me to Barbizon, and as soon as they wanted me, she said no. So I'm like, okay, this is really stupid. She wouldn't let me do anything. So
I tried to find Barbizon, but I just didn't know how to go about doing it when I was younger, you know, because I was so up under my mother. I was up under my mother from the time I was born until 7 years ago. I never left her. 7 years.
Wow.
Ago.
That is noble. Very noble.
7 years ago.
I mean, I give it to you. I give it to you. That's my sister's job, Andrea. She's going to be the one, you know. And so, you know, at least I think so, because I'm not good with health care. So I know I'm not going to be the one.
Oh, yeah. They even wanted me, the hospital said, you know so much more than us. You need to come and work for us. Or, you know, I would volunteer. It doesn't matter. I like helping people. I'm friendly.
Yes.
I love helping. I'm energetic. I'm funny.
Yes.
I'm a jack of all trades.
Right. I saw some of the clips that you did with your jokes and in your comedy. I thought it was funny. It
yeah.
Was like,
I'm not only cute and pretty. I'm funny too.
All right now.
You know?
Exactly.
You know, and you know the thing about it, I'm natural. So even though you see me dressing a lot on some of the clips,
right.
You'll see me not dressing and down, scarf on my head and everything. I don't care because that's me. I'm real.
Right. Absolutely. And that's good to be comfortable in your own skin. And,
yes.
You know, people think that you got to be caked down with all of this makeup in order
no.
to be beautiful. And that's not the
I don't
case
even know how to put it on. That's why I don't wear it, to tell the truth. I don't know how to put it
okay.
on.
That's another thing we got in common. I got mad makeup and don't wear most of
no,
it.
No, I don't know how to do that. But I did have on my TikTok fake. TikTok did. I did a clip with TikTok, and they put the makeup on me. Boy, I looked good too.
For real? Wow.
Yes. Yes.
But you know what? That's good. You know how to do TikTok. I've been trying to get my little nieces to help me to do TikTok since last year.
Well, you know, my niece was supposed to, but she moved to
right.
Florida, so I started messing around with it. So I'm still learning it, but I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing
yeah.
pretty good to just start it out. I got over 4,000 likes already on my little videos and stuff, and on my reel, I'm clicking a 5K and everything on everything. I'm
all
like,
right
whoa,
now,
okay?
That's good. That's wonderful.
Yes.
And so I want to ask you two questions definitely before we
okay.
run out of time.
Okay.
Number one, you know, I know you love to cook. What type of dishes would you recommend, you know, for someone starting off and they're trying to lose weight, they want to get into modeling, maybe they want to do print, maybe catalog, maybe runway, I don't know. What would you suggest?
You know, well, see, I have a problem of gaining weight, so I wouldn't know how to tell you how to lose weight. Only thing I know to tell you how to lose weight, drink you some Ensure and don't eat and you'll lose weight. Really,
okay.
Because when you drink Ensure and you eat, you gain weight. But if you drink it and don't eat, you're going to lose the weight.
Oh, really?
People don't know that.
Okay, because
I couldn't tell you what type of dish because I cook all kind of foods because I try to gain weight and I have a hard time gaining weight.
Right. I saw, was that you that made the asparagus and salmon today?
And aluminum foil. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I know that's healthy. I mean, I'm not a salmon
yeah.
girl, and I don't like asparagus. Diane Crummer is the only one that got me to eat asparagus in my life.
I never liked asparagus, but it's very good. It's especially if you make it with a honey glazed sauce, like with the butter, the garlic, and you put honey
right.
in it, little honey in it, and you glaze it. It's good,
uh-huh.
but I don't like
oh,
asparagus
wow.
either, but that way it's very good. Yep, yep.
Okay, because I know it's good for you. So that's why I was asking that.
Yeah,
but
put that glaze on it, and you will love it.
Yes, yes. Hey, I might just come over to your house. Knock, 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 darling. did you cook tonight?
Yeah,
okay.
I'm always cooking because I cook for them for my three brothers a lot, too. So, you know,
right.
I cook for them.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and men love to eat. So, yeah, I can see why you would be doing that.
Yeah.
But the question for tonight is, if you could have anyone, who would it be and why? I gave my person, Henry Simmons. Who tell everybody what your answer would be.
Oh, my gosh, that's that Morris Chestnut. Oh, I'm in love with that Morris Chestnut. And
right.
why? It's simple.
Right.
It's a simple question, a simple answer. Why? Because he's fine.
Right. Yes, he is.
He's fine.
Yes, he is.
I can't say nothing else. I can't say nothing else. That's it.
Yes, absolutely. You get better with age. That's the thing.
Yes. Yes. See, he's like me. We get mm-hmm. better with age. So see, I love him. I love him. But he's a sweetheart. He's a very good actor. You know, besides being a good actor, he's humble. You know, he's graceful. You know, suave. Yeah, I can't say no more. But it's that Morris Chestnut. I don't care what.
Mm-hmm. I call him Morris Chestnut. Let me stop.
Same it all, Bob. And if I ever had a chance to meet him, I think I would fall down on the floor. That's all. They just have to pick me up because I would fall down. I would just fall down, seriously.
Yes, yes. I hear you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm usually not starstruck because I've met so many celebrities, but there has been a couple where I lost my ever-loving mind. It just came from nowhere, and I was like, what is going on, Cherie? Hold yourself together.
I only met one in my whole life, and that was 50 Cent. And when I met him, I whispered in his ear, I'm going to give you my number. Call me. And he just laughed and took a picture with me.
Oh, that is so sweet. I love 50 Cent. And you know what? It's not about looks. He's a businessman. He came from nothing.
Right.
And I love stories like that when you come from nothing and you make it, all the odds is against you. And you create something. And I love that he has made himself over. And, you know, his life was spared from all the gunshots.
That's right.
By the man.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Some people don't
like
him.
I got to meet him.
Too, but
that's the only one, you know.
Right. Okay. Yes. Now, one last thing, because we're about to run out of time, and I have another guest coming on. I want to take a short little quick music break. If you could say anything to a young woman out there that doesn't feel that great about herself at this stage in her life, what would you say? Because she might want to be that catalog model. She might want to be that runway model. What would you say to her, Darlene?
Well, I would say to her, look at yourself in the mirror and say to yourself, I am beautiful. I am capable.
Yes.
I am loved. I love myself.
Mm-hmm.
You can do anything you want to do, but you have to want to do it. Don't never down yourself, because it took me years. I always wanted to do what I wanted to do, but I couldn't do it. But now I got the chance. So it's never, never, ever too late. Just love yourself always. First, most of all, love God first. Ask him for what you want and ask for his Holy Spirit, and he gives it to you, and you move forward. You move forward.
Yes. And it may take some time because everything is not
instant, like
we would hope it to be. God knows, I know. But in gradual time.
His time is not our time.
Yes, because when I started this show, it was because I was encouraged to do so. It wasn't even something on my mind. It was somebody who, you know, friends around me, you know, that were doing radio and said, why don't you do it? You have a great radio voice, Cherie. I was like, are you crazy?
You can do anything you want, but you have to love yourself first.
Right.
You know,
right.
You know, don't down, because a lot of us, we down ourselves. We look at ourselves and we say, "Why I'm not? I want to be like this person. I want to be like that person." No, never ever want to be like someone else. Be like yourself, because God made you to be like yourself. He doesn't want you to be like no one else.
Yes. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Darlene. You're such a vibrant person. I love your spirit. You know, if
you
ever want to come back on in the future, please let me know. I'm going to go to a quick music break, and then I have a bio to read with my next caller. So you're welcome to just stay on the line and listen, but I'm going to mute you at this time, and I thank you again for being my guest.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it very much.
Yes. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay.
And there you have it. That was Darlene Addison out of Stamford, Connecticut, catalog model and influencer. You heard her story. You heard her testimony. So if you missed anything, go back and listen once the show is done. I'm going to go to a quick break right now and play a little bit of one of my favorite songs, Tell Me If You Still Care, by the SOS Band. This song is dedicated to Cinnamon Brown, wherever you may be at this time. All right, you tuned in to Talk to Me. This is Sheree Humphrey of Diamonds in the Rough and Talk to Me Media. I want to thank you for tuning in. If you missed the first part of the show, you can definitely hear the second part of the show. And once the show is done, you can go back, rewind, and listen to the entire thing. Please share with your friends. If you would like to support Diamonds in the Rough and God lays it on your heart to give a donation of any kind, please go to my show page. My Cash App is up there. I have all forms of payment. You can inbox me, reach out to me. You can also support by buying some art or one of my latest books, which is Diamond Art and Recollections, that has all of my artwork in there from 2020. I'm working on new stuff right now and hopefully trying to get into a gallery, and that is my short-term goal. So if anybody is interested, please do that. I would definitely appreciate anything that you're willing to offer. I'm definitely in need of a new laptop, so I'm throwing that out there again. If anybody is more than enough and you are willing to donate, please do so. Reach out to me, 203-952-9807. I am going to read my next caller's bio. He has been waiting very patiently on the line. Lou Humphrey, Big Score Entertainment, BSE. BSE Recordings, LLC, is an independent American record label specializing in all musical genres and artists. BSE Recordings is based in Stratford, Connecticut, and is distributed by The Orchard. The label was launched in September 2007 by platinum songwriter, musician, producer Lou Humphrey, my cousin. I'm so proud. Let me go on. Among some, the artists signed to the label are such as Erica Kane, Omar Wilson. You know Omar, he's been in my shows in the past, and he's been a guest on this show. T-Bars, Stephen Russell Hart, Kenny Miner, Tony Exum Jr., which is a jazz musician. Lou Humphrey is a producer and musician who played guitar in a top 40 band in his younger years, which included band members Bernard Jackson, who has graced his show as well, lead singer of the band Surface. In 1993, Humphrey signed to Universal's MCA Publishing Group as a staff member. During his tenure as a writer for MCA, Humphrey went on to spearhead the creation of such hits Do Me Again, which went on to become R&B singer icon Freddie Jackson's final gold and platinum success. After many other successes as a writer and a producer, Humphrey decided to start his own record label in 2007, BSE Recordings. And I would stop right here, but because I love Omar, and just going to read a little bit about what it says about him, being that he is one of the artists on his label. BSE also signed soul R&B crooner Omar Wilson. With an already good amount of experience on honing his craft, including becoming a three-time Apollo winner and opening up for acts like Boyz II Men, which I covered that event, and Justin Timberlake, Humphrey knew signing Omar was a no-brainer, especially seeing the unique raw talent, soul, and grittiness in his voice that has been missing in music since the late 60s to 70s. And I'm going to stop right there, and I'm going to plug my caller in. Hello.
Hello there, cuz. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Oh, I'm pretty good. Thank you for that wonderful introduction. Appreciate it.
Yes, no doubt. You sent me a book, but I said ain't no way in the world I'm going to read all of this. But thank you so much. I appreciate it. I'm so glad that we finally connected because you were like a ghost. I kept hearing like, Lou Humphrey, he's related to you. Lou Humphrey is your cousin. And I never, ever met you because you grew up with my father.
Right.
So, yeah. So you have been working with so many wonderful people, and your background is definitely impressive and extensive. But I want to know my cousin. I want to know who you are, not so much as what you did. So tell me about your upbringing in your childhood, just a little bit.
Well, first of all, I'm an ordinary man. That's number one.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Number two, you know, my childhood was rough coming up.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of love in the family, a lot of love around the family. But
right.
We all grew up very poor. And
right.
Looking to try to break that cycle of, you know, of not having.
Yes.
I started out at a young age, you know, with big aspirations. Track and field was one of my escapism. Thought I was going to be, you know, Jesse Owens to my chagrin. But, you know, look, we all as children have our fantasies that we want to do, especially when we're in situations that are good to deal with.
Absolutely.
But like I said, you know, my parents gave us a lot of love. They left us very, very young when I was 16, 17 years old. So I never got to fulfill the things that I would have liked to fulfill as a child. But I'm blessed in so much as that, you know, my father had the foresight to see that I was had the musical ability and helped me pursue it. So I'm very thankful for that.
Excuse me. And so there's a lot of musical people in our family.
Yes.
And you told me about one of them who's a jazz musician that produced Tevin Campbell. And I think you said Bobby Humphrey, the female.
Bobby Humphrey, yeah. Bobby
yes.
Humphrey
so,
is a flutist. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Bobby Humphrey is a famous jazz artist, flutist, who discovered Tevin Campbell, who's actually related
okay.
to us.
Right.
I became aware of that. As I lived out in L.A. For a number of years when I was signed to Universal Music, which at that time was MCA Publishing. And when I went out there, because I was going to do work on Tevin Campbell's debut album, which I got a chance to meet them and experience that and the cue and all of that. And that's when I was aware of who Bobby Humphrey was. Again, our family, you know, never was totally connected, and there's a lot of us out there, and there's a lot of us out there doing big things. So that's how I became aware of Bobby Humphrey and her relationship to Tevin Campbell.
Okay. Okay. And yes, you told me we have so much family in just in the city of Bridgeport alone. And I didn't grow up that close with my father's family. So I only my father's mother's side, who I knew more so. And so, yes, I understand growing up and unfortunate circumstances and, you know, things not being ideal and not having parents because, you know, my father died when I was 13. So I didn't get to have any relationship with him. I was afraid of him because he was so rough and rugged, like manly, like, and I wasn't used to that. But indeed. I loved him dearly, you know, I did. And so I understand that. Who were some of your influences, though, that you looked up to when you were growing up?
Chuck Dudley. He was one of the guys that I really looked up to. People won't be familiar with who Chuck Dudley was, but Chuck Dudley was a friend of the family. He was a guitarist, a famous guitarist, that actually lived in Stamford, Connecticut. He was that took me under his wings at an early age and actually taught me how to play guitar. I was forever grateful to him and the fact that he did that. And it's ironic because I remember being, you know, 7 years old, and I swore up and down I was the baddest guitarist anywhere, in any place, with my little broomstick. In my little watch pair with my rubber band on there, just doing my thing, see?
Yeah.
And it was Chuck Dudley that saw, you know, my father brought him over one day when I was living on Conn Avenue, and he saw me playing this makeshift guitar and actually went home and gave me one and told me he was going to teach me how to play. He literally, I think, saved me from making a wrong turn in life, because he was a disciplinarian and was constantly on my case. And he is the reason that I've been able to achieve all the things I've achieved in life as far as my music career is concerned.
And that is very important, especially when you are growing up in not such an ideal situation where you don't have the support and you don't have someone behind you, such as your parents, pushing you to be a musician, pushing you to be an athlete, pushing you to do whatever. And so I believe God sends certain angels into our life to kind of steer us in the right direction. And one of those people for me was Robbie Jenkins, because I would have never been singing in those singing group, even though I'm the one who started the group and when he came in, but I would never continued it, you know what I'm saying? Because there was so much other stuff happening. You know, I could have went totally wrong because I was always getting in trouble for fighting, always, but I was an honor student. So Robbie kind of stepped in and let us know, no, you can't do this. No, you can't do that. That don't look good. And so I didn't have a father to do that. So I understand where you're coming from with that. And that's definitely a blessing that happened to you. And so as a young adult, and now you're coming into, you know, your own, what do you think was a pivotal moment in your life after working with Mr. Dudley?
I think a pivotal moment in my life after working with Mr. Dudley was my involvement in the group Climax, which were a bunch of my peers and friends from Stamford, Connecticut, including Bernard Jackson. I think that was very instrumental in kind of giving me my direction, in understanding my love. I'll tell you an interesting story. So, you know, we all think that we're the best at doing whatever we do. And we don't think yes. that we will ever fail. We don't think that there's anybody better than us. And I'll tell you an interesting story that happened. So
okay.
I joined Climax, of which it had Bernard Jackson and Bobby Fischer and Pete Fischer and Morris Griffin. And mm-hmm. and so they brought me into the group to play guitar. Let me tell you something, girl. I was the worst damn guitar player there ever was. And they didn't have any shame in letting me know. In fact, they told me, check this out. They said, listen, you out the group right now. Go home and learn how to play.
Right.
Then come back. And if there's a position open, we'll see about trying to get you back in. I needed
right.
that butt kicking. That butt
yeah.
kicking and that reality made me dig in and made me get extraordinarily good at what I did and what I do.
Right. Yes.
And
yes.
I would say that my camaraderie with those guys, pivotal and instrumental in who I am today.
Right.
We did a lot of things back then.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, Bernard went on to do big things. I went on to do some things. And, you know, and I'm forever grateful for that experience.
Right. Absolutely. And I totally agree because, you know, I wouldn't say that for myself that I thought I was the best, but I was striving. I remember being in the McDonald's Gospel Fest, you know, 2003, mm-hmm. forgetting the words
wow.
completely before I went on stage, like blanking mm-hmm. out. And the producer was like, Cherie, go. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm sitting out there and I'm like, just don't know what's going to happen because at that moment I couldn't remember a thing. And so
mm-hmm.
I end up winning first runner up, but for years I would get angry because I couldn't win first place. And I didn't win first place until like 2008. It took me mm-hmm. 5 years before I won that. So, you know, I get it. You know, sometimes we need to be brought down, and we need a little bit more skill set. God may be working mm-hmm. some other things out around us we don't know about. You
Absolutely.
Know, so, yeah. And so that's a wonderful story. And my godfather, Carl Vanderpool, he had a company called Cavco Records. And when I was 11, me and my friend, Kiki, we used to look out in the backyard and see Bernard and Fisher and all of these guys going into the studio, which was in the garage. And I was in awe of Bernard. And Bernard ended up being my mentor
mm-hmm.
right before he went to California. And so he taught me a lot of different things. And I, you know, got my own group. Because the thing was, oh, you're too pretty. You're distracting the guys. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I was furious. But Bernard played a pivotal point in my life because he made my self-esteem be built up. He sent me pictures
yeah.
of him and Callie. So I get it. You know what I'm saying? And so tell me a little bit more about, you know, as you became older, what was that very first break when you knew you were on your way? What was that first break?
Well, I think it was when I moved to Bridgeport, and I had to continue to develop and hone my skills, and I was working with a young lady by the name of Janice Dempsey. Janice was doing
Janice.
A lot of big things with Hush Productions in New York. She was doing a lot of things with Paul Lawrence Jones, who was responsible for a lot of Freddie's hits, Melissa Morgan's hits, what's her name? Stephanie Mills, Lilo Thomas, on and on and on and on.
Right,
and
okay.
through my working with Janice, and we were doing a lot of co-writing stuff. You know, I had a childhood band that consisted of myself, writing team, Alan Jones, who was from Norwalk at that time, and Daryl Dash. And so I remember, you know, I was living on Indian Avenue in Bridgeport, and I was doing some writing, and I had given some of the stuff that I had done to Janice, and it was about 8 o'clock in the evening. I got a knock on my door, and so I opened up the door, and at the door was Janice, was McFadden, Gene McFadden from McFadden Whitehead, and Paul Lawrence Jones. And they said to me, "We heard your stuff, and we would like you to be part of what we do at Hush." And they wanted to offer me a writing deal and a production deal. And unbeknownst to me at that time, they had already selected my song to be the debut single and the title of Freddie's last album, which was Do Me Again, which I had written and played most of the musical parts on there. And so, you know, I think that that was the pivotal moment that kind of set my direction in terms of where I was headed, because from there, everything took off.
Okay. Okay. And that's what I'm talking about, that one break that sets everything on fire. And, you know, that's wonderful. And I know Janice. She's a wonderful person. She's been on my show a couple times. Very, very encouraging. And, you know, trying to encourage me to get my life story out there, because I told her it's just like I couldn't get through some things because it was just so painful to even remember. And she, you know, we talked and stuff like that. And I know she's done amazing things. I don't know all of them because that wasn't during my time. But I know, I'm sure I've listened to many things that she's done that I didn't even know she did. You're telling me something I didn't even know. And so that's a great thing. Before we run out of time, you work with Omar Wilson, and I know you helped produce the remake of The Secret Garden that was done many years ago with El DeBarge and what's the big man's name? Barry White and a few other people. And I love this video. Can you tell me just really quickly about that project that you worked on him with?
So Omar Wilson is a phenomenal talent. Voices like that don't come along but once in a generation that have that old soul feel but knows how to tailor and put it into today's music. So Omar came to me one day. And he started talking about Secret Garden, Secret Garden, Secret Garden. I said, "You want to do Secret Garden?" He said, "Yeah, you know, a friend of mine's mentioned something about Secret Garden." I said, "I tell you what, I'll go in the studio with Jazz Joyner, who is one of my writing partners, and Erica Kane, who's my other writing partner and producers. And I said, we're going to do our version of Secret Garden." At that time, Omar and I were at the NAACP nominations, of which he was nominated for Best Artist, which is, he's in rare company for that, Best New Artist. And Raheem Devon was out there. We kind of bonded. We bonded. And after we come to the decision we were going to do Secret Garden, I reached out to Raheem Devon because I knew I had to have Raheem Devon on this. Because that man exudes sexuality. You understand? He just knows how to kill the ladies. So I reached out to Raheem, and I says, "Are you interested in doing this?" He said, "Lil, bet, let's go." So now we had to figure out real quick who were going to be the other people that were going to get involved. You understand? My immediate thought was I was going to reach out for another Connecticut artist named Avery Wilson to do El DeBarge's part. But, you know, he was on some stuff, and I had no time to stop and let him catch up to me.
Right.
So I reached out to Sean Stockman from Boys to Men, and Sean says, "I'm in." Now we had a problem. Who are we going to get to do Barry White's part? Who can pull it off?
Yes.
So I originally reached out to Johnny Gill to do it. Well, you know, Johnny Gill either was busy or we don't really know the inside story, but he missed the boat. So I reached out Ghost Management and they said, we're in. And this is how it came. Myself, Erica Kane, and Jazz Joyner produced the track, rearranged the track, and now we've got a hit on our hands, which officially the video has over 5 million streams as of today, with no fluff, all organic.
Yes, it is beautiful. I love the Secret Garden, the original, anyway. And then for you all to have done it and done it so well, because I was sitting there, I was like, I know those fat hands on that keyboard. And so I was like, I know this guy. And so then I said, OMG, that's Jazz. I had watched the video like 2 or 3 times and didn't know who was sitting on that keyboard, but I kept recognizing his hands because I love keyboard and I always watch Jazz hands usually when he's playing and I'm, you know, at a performance.
Jazz Joyner is phenomenally talented, and that's my brother for life.
Yes, he's so, so nice. He's a big, intimidating dude, though. But
he's a teddy bear,
so
believe
nice.
Me. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I figured that part out. And so it was just special to see Omar up there and then Raheem, who I've done, you know, show with before in Massachusetts, you know, and met again in North Carolina. It was just like, wow, look at these dudes. And they did it so well, because it's hard to remake a hit. Because you remake a hit and you don't hit it on the nose, you're going to get talked about.
Well, that's true. And to tell you, be honest with you, Omar has a classic album coming out with some phenomenal stuff on that classic album that hasn't always been released. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And
right.
And we're now going to do some really big things with the legendary Norman Whitfield, who wrote all of the Temptations hits, of which Omar is going to be featured on there. Just really
wonderful.
Quick, we also have a phenomenal album in the tank for Erica Kane. Erica Kane is back, y'all. Let me tell you something. When that girl roll out this album, y'all are going
to
be shocked. And, of course,
I'm
we got Stephen Hart's. Yeah, Erica Kane has done records with Brian McKnight and Graham Puba and many others. She's the driving force behind our production team and our writing team. Lastly, but surely, we have Stephen Hartz, who was formerly the lead singer Troop in the Stable, and he has a new single out called So Close, and he is a 3-time Grammy winner doing big things.
Wow, that is excellent. And, you know, it's just been an honor to meet you and to connect. I hope we get to see each other in person soon.
Yes, we will.
Because that is definitely a part of my heart and life that's missing, is to be around some healthy individuals. Because, you know, you got relatives, but you don't want to be around all of them. But to see people doing something and know that they are blood, and you know their blood, that is like so inspiring to me. So I commend you. Continue to do everything that you're doing. And I'm definitely going to stay in touch with you because you got to meet Tammy as well.
Absolutely.
My sister. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And continue with that. And we're not live streaming, but it is being recorded. So I have one last question for you.
Sure.
If you could have anyone, who would it be and why?
When you say anyone, if I could have anyone to do what?
Take it any way you want to. Anyone.
Okay.
I mean, it could be your wife if you're married.
Okay. So if I could have, if I could have anyone that I would be blessed to know, inspired to be around, that would be Denzel Washington.
Wow.
Denzel just gives me every emotion possible in terms of his ability to do what he does and to represent like he does.
Right. Right. Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. The man has longevity in acting, and that's rare.
Oh, please.
And his, the Fences was off the chain. Well, everything that I've seen him in, The Equalizer, Fences, the other one where he was playing the crazy cop, all of it, you know.
Right.
So I understand totally. Is there anything you would like to say to a young man or a young woman out there that has dreams of being a producer or starting a record company? What would you say to them?
I would say that as long as your heart is in the right place, your desire is directed in the right direction, as long as you stay committed and you believe in yourself, anything is obtainable. It is not easy. Nothing in life that's successful comes easy. It's a lot of hard work. It's a lot of emotions up and down, good and bad.
Mm-hmm.
But
yes.
Know that you can definitely become successful in this business, and to also know that there are people like myself that are around to help and guide you to your dream.
Yes, and that's a blessing, because you're giving back to, you know, the people behind you, and teaching them, and they're growing and learning. And sometimes people are watching you, you don't even know.
Right.
I used to tell my cousin that all the time. I used to be like, she's like, you crazy. I'm like, no, I'm not crazy, boo-boo. There's people that I don't know watching me and doing all the things that I've done. You know, and I know that to be a fact because they've approached me at some point and told me, I've been looking at some of the things you've been doing. And that's happened a lot of times. So you have to, like you said, be true to yourself, know what you want. And that could change over time. I mean, we people put us in a box, you know, because you started off one way doesn't mean you're going to be that all your life. You know, we evolve. We grow, we educate, we learn. So, and we glean off of each other. And so
right.
I want to say thank you so much, cuz, for coming on and taking out your time to be a part of Talk to Me Radio. God bless you, and we'll be seeing each other soon.
And I thank you, cuz, and just know I'm here for you, and I am here for the state of Connecticut and Stanford, and I just want to be able to help the youth that are underneath me reach their pinnacles.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you so much. God bless. And you have a blessed night.
You too. Take care now.
Okay. Bye-bye. There you have it. That was my cousin, producer, Lou Humphrey. Please check out the video on YouTube of The Secret Garden that is featuring Omar Wilson, Cisco, Jazz, the guy from Boyz II Men, I can't remember his name, and Raheem Devon. So check that out. It is awesome. I've watched it, I don't know, about 10 times already. But in any case, thank you for tuning in to Talk to Me. This was the first show of the year. I have some things on the horizon, so hopefully I will be back on. I'm just doing one episode for the month of March because I have some things happening, and then I'll be settled in getting back on track with this particular show. If you know anyone that would like some artwork, or if you'd like to purchase, please reach out to me. Please reach out to me as far as the books are concerned, or anything that might be on the website. And I'm going to take you out with a little bit of Darwin Hobbs, Every Day. God bless you. Thank you.
Yeah. to you, but they don't understand. That's the way we roll. I guess it's because the half has never been told. Do the thing for me that you do.